Quick update. We've been working with tax counsel on this last couple of months, and we issued 1099s here for retirees. There are two different definitions that we're looking at. One is an in-service distribution, which means if somebody retires before their normal retirement age, and that is a problem for the plan. We don't allow those. And if they go back to work right away, that is an issue, so we don't allow them to go back to work. The other, the IRS considers an early distribution. So if somebody leaves before age 59 and a half, so it could be a safety individual who has reached normal retirement age and retires at age 52, if they don't have a bona fide separation of service and come back to work right away, the IRS says they are subject to a 10% penalty tax on their retirement benefit. The IRS has been looking at these closer. In 2012, issued a new ruling. We're working with tax counsel to make sure we implement it this year. We have copies of letters that we are sending out to anybody who is receiving a 1099 for the first time in 2013 and may be subject to this 10% tax. It's also a questionnaire asking them if they had a pre-arrangement to go back to work. If they, and this is only for those who are under 59 and a half, who are receiving their first 1099 this year. If you'd like to see a copy of that, I have those. Mm. We think there's under 40 for sure. How do we know? Oh, 50 or 60 that we're sending certified letters out to. Once they reach age 59 and a half, or if they have a bona fide separation from service, they would no longer be subject to the 10% penalty.
What's the 10% penalty for?
It's an early distribution out of a qualified retirement plan.
Oh, okay.
So we have not been misinforming people. They can go back to work the next day as long as they've received normal, as long as they've reached a normal retirement age. Our plan allows that. The problem is now we've got the IRS out there saying, well, they can do that, but they didn't really separate from service, and that's the big definition.
My recollection of that rule was you had to be 55, mentioned 52 as an example.
There is an exception for public sector, governmental employees that are 55, but only if they separate from service. Same problem.
And we went through this in 2009 when we put together our normal retirement age, which is for non-PEPRA, it's age 50 for safety and 55 for general members. Uh-huh. So if you left at normal retirement age or older, as far as the qualification of the plan, you can go back to work the next day. But we're running into situations now where people say, okay, well, I want to rush out of here because of AB 197 or other issues, and guess what? They may be hit with a 10% penalty. Is there a cure? Yes. They will have to talk to their tax consultant, but if they now have a bona fide separation, then anything going forward would not be subject to that.
I understand what you're saying. I don't understand why, because when you retirement, okay, what we pay in now is pre-tax.
Yes.
So when you retire, you start paying taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they get another 10%?
Because if you didn't really separate from your job, if you retire, back to work,
you're fine.
You're fine. Okay. If you retire and you say, you know what, I'm not going to work anymore, and your employer calls you back 30, 60 days later, and there was no pre-arrangement to come back to work, that can still qualify as bona fide separation of service. And then there would not be. So this is why we have to put some of it back on the employee.
So when they say you're not separated from service, you're starting to get an early you're getting money that under the IRS you're not supposed to get till you really, really, really retire.
Yes, okay. That's all that it is.
The question is, did you really retire?
Yeah, and that is a valid question.
And IRS back to the IRS, when they wrote all the regulations, they believed that you really shouldn't retire till you're 59. I mean, that's why they chose 59 and a half.
We're dealing with this. It's an IRS issue. We've been notified by our tax counsel. We need to really implement it. So it's not a board decision. It's an IRS rule. We've got to comply. The other issue that Tim brought up, and another thing we're going to have to work on with tax counsel, is apparently the IRS has some new ruling on who can be in a commingled investment fund. And it's supposed to be a trust. Well, they didn't list government agencies as trusts. So we're going to be working we're going to have to spend money to research it. We've got Ice Miller, who works very closely with the IRS to find out about this. We actually heard it through Reed Smith because we use them for investment counsel. So we also have to start working on that. Tim, your turn. Oh, comp study. I do have reports here for the committee. We're meeting Monday afternoon at 2:30. So I have those to take with you today. Tim?
A couple of updates on Lord Abbott. Actually, during last week's meeting, Lord Abbott had an announcement that two portfolio managers had resigned from the fixed income team. Keep in mind, it's 2 out of 40. So not a
rush. Just two more, though.
It's a one person was kind of a, I'd say, mid-level. One was more of a junior.
Okay.
Not a red flag, but it's an accumulation of yellow flags.
Are they orange yet?
They're getting orangey.
Getting orangey.
The Pureford on-site, it looks like we're settling on December 17th as the best day, so I'll send out an email to the full board. Anybody who is available to join that on-site in London, let me know. If
for December 17th?
We already decided. Deborah's the only one.
One.
Was there any other interest?
We said we would send out an email, so I mean, if there was any other interest.
Well, the policy says we can go as many as three and possibly four on an on-site.
That's correct.
Thank you.
The board voted last.
There wasn't really a vote. Brian mentioned we talked about one because it's overseas.
So if for whatever reason the 17th doesn't work, then we're going to have to look at January. But the 17th is the one day in January, or in December, that looks like it would work.
They still don't have our money then. So
No.
But I didn't think so. I'm just so much data today. I'm just trying
We would like to, Tim and I talked,
get it there sooner.
It would be
rather
great
than
if we could do it before the end of the year, because this is something that we would like to fund as soon as possible.
Yeah. The money's being managed by State Street on an interim basis for no management fee, but that the clock's ticking on when that no management fee deal runs out.
Yeah, at some point they're going to want.
The other item came up on Monday. We were in Denver to do the final on-site with Aether. This is after we had the operational due diligence last week. We got the initial feedback from the operational due diligence folks, and there was a number of issues. Some of them significant, some of them relatively minor. Chrysler Miller, or Aether responded to most of them satisfactorily immediately. The one issue that came up as a possible issue, and the board needs to know about this, is that their third-party fund administrator does not have what's called an SSAE 16, which means somebody else has come in and examined their internal controls, their recalculation of fund fees, of cash flows, et cetera. Chrysler Miller's response is fund administrators should have this. In meeting with Aether on Monday, they said that the fund administrator is pursuing this, but it's probably 2 years away until they get there. So this is new information that the board didn't have when they made the selection. So we'll put an agenda item on next week's meeting, come back, and basically the question before the board is, do you want to move forward with your investment or not? You have a new information here.
Tim, is that a report that used to be called the SAS 70?
That's the report that used to be called the SAS 70. Yeah. And we did survey our other private equity funds that outsource fund administration, and the majority of their fund administrators do have the SSAE 16.
Okay.
Yes. I only get so much with a meeting every
week. I know.
Week,
it's, you know? Only so much can happen in 6 days.
We can only do so much.
outside professionals, any?
No, nothing. Those are good.
Okay. Trustee Thomas.
That 10% penalty thing, they'll take a deputy that retires at 50, comes back as a per diem working with that.
If they come back immediately and there was no separation, it means they say, oh, I'm quitting, but by the way, will you hire me back tomorrow? That's not a separation of service. The IRS would come in and say, you never left work.
You need to take and 90, they, 90
But if they really left and said, you know what, I'm retiring.
This
and,
is,
and
what if they go to a different agency?
Was like, there a prearranged? Was that all arranged ahead of time? There's a questionnaire we're going to have these folks fill out. So did you talk to your employer about coming back to work before you left? Did you work and really say, I'm retired? And then a month later, somebody called you and said, you know what, we really need you over here. I mean, there's different things.
Right.
That, but this is not, we can't give tax counsel on this either.
Well, what's interesting is, I'm sorry, Lee, but to go to your question, what's interesting is now under anybody who comes back has to go, it has to be before the Board of Supervisors to bring you back.
Correct.
So, but except for safety. So safety, you might want to consider having your board order done, because then it would be an official record to the IRS that you have separated.
A board order done that?
Well, we do board orders. Like we've had a public works person come back. We're having a health services. So under PEPRA, they can't just come back. They have to have a full hearing before the Board of Supervisors. And so our board order says this person is retiring. However, they need to come back to fill out while we're doing a recruitment because there's a special project. you know, I'm just saying that
would be a prearranged return to work.
Doesn't get them out of it.
They would be subject to the 10%.
Yeah, see, they're in a break.
Ooh, that, we need to put that in the board order so that people understand.
Now, here's what happened
this last year. Who's advising employees of this? You said there's a letter that goes...
We're sending a letter to those who may be affected with the... It's going to be those who receive, will receive a first 1099 this year. There are those who... Our counselors are talking to everybody who comes in. We are changing the retirement application. Now, the people, a good group of these retired last December thinking they were running out before PEPRA. And
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter when. This is their first 1099. We're going through and we're going to look at it.
How long did, when did this law come into effect? Do we know from the accountant?
We are working, let's talk about that. We're working with the tax council on that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out when this started.
It probably was in, but was not apparent to many of the systems. I've talked to the other systems. They're all kind of saying, oh. So we're working on it.
And you said there's, what, 40, roughly?
40 to 50.
The law was in for a long time. But
yeah, it's been around a long time.
There was the exception for people who separate from service. The IRS has much more recently given stricter and stricter guidance on what they consider a separation of service. And these people that simply start collecting retirement benefit and are changed to hourly or part-time, they now are very clear that that's not a bona fide retirement, that's a sham retirement.
Are we going to get guidelines saying what is separation? Is it a day? Is it a week? That will come?
We are not tax counsel, and that's where we've got to be very clear on this. All we can tell them is you need to have a bona fide separation of service. If you're unclear, you call your tax counsel.
And are they going to say what's a bona fide? If they ask you what's a bona fide, you're going to tell them?
Call your tax counsel. We can't go there. Now, Kurt, you started down something. Repeat what you just said, because my mind went to it. There was one other issue.
The IRS recently,
it's the change. Stricter definition of what is a separation
of service. What I was going to say is PEPRA, remember, before PEPRA came into place January 1, we didn't have the authority to go in there and audit either. So this is all happening this year. Now we can go and audit. Bob Campbell has given me the authorization to use the system, PeopleSoft, for retirement purposes. He's reiterated that. So PEPRA came in this year. We now have the ability to look at these. We've received additional information from tax counsel.
And the board orders. Public dollars that these people are making an arrangement that remain at work even before they retired. So
we'd like to be on top of it as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
They will not be happy, but we'll deal with the phone calls when they come in.
I'll make an announcement from the podium next week.
So it's basically the people that retired that are getting their first 1099.
Let them get their letters and call us, and let's not.
I need to
advise. It gets very confusing.
I understand, but I have to advise my board members, and I only can do that in public. I cannot do that one-on-one.
I can give you a copy of the letter.
Okay, that'd be great.
I could copy the Board of Supervisors on the letters.
Is a public meeting here.
Yes.
No, but my board members on the Board of Supervisors, I have to let them know this.
Tell them to listen to the minutes of the meeting.
They're not going to do that. But going to the other issue, you talked about a trust versus a commingled something or other. Is that... we're just going to clarification. Do you think we're going to have legislation?
It's possible.
We're
at the very beginning stages of this.
It's not just us, though.
It would be every government entity.
Well, as I understand it, it's every 37 Act county because the IRS doesn't recognize the 37 Act as a formal trust document.
I didn't know that.
That was the information I got from Reed Smith.
But it's unclear.
If I'm butchering
that,
we'll have to clarify it. But I'm relaying tax information from a non-tax attorney, so. It was more of an investment issue that I was having with him was if nothing changes between now and the end of 2014, as of January 2015, we're going to have a problem holding these commingled funds.
So we're going to get on that with Ice Miller and tax.
And along those lines, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday. Is there a document or something you could steer me towards that tells us why back in 1937 certain counties formed 1937 county retirement associations as opposed to going with PERS? Is there some?
We were actually, the Board of Supervisors adopted it and enacted it in 1945 here.
No, I know, but I'm talking statewide. Why did they form this versus?
Why was the 37 Act?
I have no idea.
There's a trustee handbook that has part of the trustee handbook, which you should be able to get, has history of the early days of SACRS.
Is that through SACRS, trustee handbook?
They teach it at the Cal.
That would be great, just because, you know, now that we're going through all these issues and the conversation was, well, this will be decided or we need to do this. And I said, from our experience as a legislative body dealing with the governor on redevelopment, I don't think the governor is, this is my personal opinion, is in the mood to change a bunch of stuff on retirement issues other than it coming out of court hearings. And so the question rose, what's the difference and why? Because it seems most of the plan between a PERS and a 1937 are pretty much the same. There's some different rules. So that would be really helpful.
I'll get that for you.
Thank you.
Or when Richard's here next time, you could talk to him because he was on the board at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, no other trustee comments?
I got one. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Judge Flynn's office.
I thought it was 8:30.
Is it 8:30? All right.
And that was my question. Doesn't court normally start at 9, and since they're limiting it?
Yeah, well, if it's 8:30, then it's fine.
The judge can decide when he wants to hear it.
Exactly, yeah.
Judge Flynn's office, or court.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Oh, this is going to be the range. Look at 7:30.